Today on Real Radio.
For you and I to be saved forever, Christ must remain forever a man. This morning, at the right hand of God the Father, is Jesus Christ, the God-man, resurrected from the dead in a body glorified, and that's why he's our prototype. That's why you have absolute assurance you will see heaven.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at the book of 1 Corinthians. We're looking at a section in chapter 15 today that you may have heard or read from time to time. Verses 21 through 28, it's where Paul is speaking of sin and death having entered into the world by one man, but being conquered by another man. And I'll bet you know who that second man is. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now in a lesson called One New Man, Please.
The very same act, his resurrection, is that the resurrection of Jesus will turn out to be the most wonderful, awesome reality that could have ever been imagined by many of us in here today. Your decision, your choice, you must choose. The Bible says in Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's Adam. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Can someone say amen? Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Listen, conveyance, Adam conveyed to me how to sin. Once you've committed that sin and you live that sin, and listen, ladies and gentlemen, church family, visitors, believers and non-believers alike, understand this. You and I do not become sinners. We do not become sinners. Do you understand that? Remember, it's in us. People don't like to hear this, especially if you haven't had a cup of coffee yet. It's kind of freakish to hear this. But the reason why we do sin is because we are sinners. We don't become sinners. We sin because we are. Okay, if a man were to steal a car, he's not a car thief when he steals the car. Now, he breaks the law, and then the law goes after him. Why? He broke the law. But according to God, when was he a car thief? Long before he stole the car. Because it was in his heart. Rebellion's in our heart. And a conveyance needs to happen. A change needs to take place. But in the same token, if I inherited this from Adam, you might say this morning, come on, man, I wasn't even there. That was a long time ago. Can't God just look the other way? He could if he was not holy. But because he is holy and everything is before him, we need a new Adam. We need another Adam. We need the last. If we had a first Adam, we need a last Adam. We need a perfect man to not make the mistake that Adam did. We need a perfect man to make the right decision. And who is that last Adam? None other than Jesus himself. By the same way you and I inherited sin, you weren't there, but it's been passed down through us. It's our nature. Jesus Christ gives us a new nature by making us new men. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about by man? I'm talking about mankind. This is not some sexist race, not racist, what's it? Sexist, chauvinistic church. Jesus died for the sins of mankind. Think of that. It was Adam's nature that was passed down to us. Just like in our lives, it's amazing when a husband and wife get together in more ways than one, right? They get together and out comes a little Jackson James. He's got a little bit of dad, a little bit of mom, and features, and as he grows, oh, look, he's got his dad's nose. Oh, look, he's got his mom's eyes. These things happen. Why? It's been passed down through the code. You know what? We inherited a spiritual DNA. It's called S-I-N. Thank you, Adam. But it's very, very clear. We need to understand that. The next thing is this. Not only by conveyance, he makes us a new man, but look, by placement. Look at verse 22. For as in Adam all die, is that not true? Are people dying? This is what's awesome about, this is incredible. Listen up. The Bible says there was no death in the world until Adam sinned. Question, is there death in the world?
Yes.
Proof of Adam's existence, proof of Adam's sin. Watch what happens with this. For as in Adam all die, the Bible says, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. You see the word in, I-N? Circle that word and write near it the Greek word E-N. That's the Greek word for in, in. E-N replaces I-N in English. Why? It's the same exact word that is used for the Holy Spirit coming to dwell within a believer and making him a new man or new woman. E-N, indwelling of the Spirit. As in Adam all die, that is, in Adam we've got this inside of us, the Bible gloriously announces that now for the believer, in us now, because of Christ in us, we will live. And that's good news. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, skip ahead a little bit. Look up there, verse 45, it says, so it is written, the first Adam became a living being. God spoke Adam into existence. The last Adam, circle the word last, please. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Tyndale, Zondervan, Baker, they all publish Bibles. And they all have their sway on where they pick up or how far they go back in Bible translation. I hope your Bible does not say the first Adam became a living being and the second Adam became a life-giving spirit, because that's not how it appears in the original scripture. You want to know why? Those of you who have had debate or logic classes in school, this is very important. Play along with me out loud, please. The first Adam became a living being, and if I were to say the second Adam became a life-giving spirit, what does that say to you among some things, other things? One thing it says to us, we've got a problem regarding Jesus Christ. You want to know why? Because if you can have a first, you can have a second. If you can have a second, you can have a... How long does that logic go on for? Forever. You see how careful you need to study your Bible. You can only have a first, and that first is only the first, according to Scripture, as long as you have a last. Jesus is the last Adam. Meaning, press restart, reboot, control, alt, restart. Jesus comes in and does, with human skin, what Adam failed to do. Remember that as we go through our study. Jesus submitted himself. Hello, listen. Jesus submitted himself like Adam was supposed to. Jesus' ministry was not lesser than God, somehow subservient to God. Jesus, who is God, says, I will step in because there is no man able to save humanity. So then I will become a man, and I will live the life that Adam was supposed to live. I will fulfill the demands, and by the way, pay the debt that Adam ran up. I'll pay that debt, and in doing so, my sinlessness will be imputed to him and his generations, and the fact that I am God will guarantee their eternity, and so I'll take care of it. But here's the amazing thing. Jesus, in his submission for us, listen, for you and I to be saved forever, Christ must remain forever a man. This morning, at the right hand of God the Father, is Jesus Christ, the God-man, resurrected from the dead in a body glorified. And that's why he's our prototype. That's why you have absolute assurance you will see heaven because of what he did. I don't know about you, but that would have been a good time to clap and go, yeah, that's incredible. That's amazing. How do I know? How can you be so sure you're going to go to heaven? Keep pointing to Jesus. Well, man, what makes you so sure? Jesus. You're so confident you're seeing the face of God. Why? Jesus. It's Jesus. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace, circle that, and of the gift of righteousness, gift, hello, gift, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. That is exciting. Before we move on, listen to this. I saw this. This is so cool. You're going to write this down. This is awesome. This is written on a tombstone. Was written these words. Remember, friend, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be. Prepare for death and follow me. Then somebody had passed by, and this is what made it cool, with chalk, wrote on the tombstone these words. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. That's awesome! Isn't that great? Adam took us to hell. Jesus takes us to heaven. It's your choice. It's your decision. In Christ, we shall all be made alive. Look at verse 23. The new man living happens by era or by time. What epoch or era of time we're speaking about? Time, era. But each one in his own order. Circle the word order. It's a military command. Order. Number one. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, number two, those who are Christ at his coming. This is important. I'd love to get into a deeper study on this. We can't at this time. Simply to say this, the Bible is so clear regarding resurrection. Mark it down. When it says order, the word is tagma in Greek, and it means this, a timed arrangement. This is awesome. The Bible says, in a timed arrangement, the word means in the marching of troops on parade, passing by, to pass by series or succession of dispatch, order, in a wave. Mark this. The Bible is saying that there is a wave regarding this great hope. Number one, Christ, the first fruits, the first resurrected human from the dead is Jesus Christ, period. You say, what about Lazarus? What about Tabitha and others? They were not resurrected from the dead. They were brought back from the dead, but not resurrected from the dead. Two different things. They had their bodies and they would die again. Jesus rose from the dead in his glorified body. He's the first one to ever be resurrected. He's the first fruits. We hit on this last week. I just want to say it again because it's so cool. Jesus died at Passover. Jesus rose again from the grave at the Feast of First Fruits. The priest was waving in front of the altar at the temple the first bundle of grain from the fields harvested as an offering to God. Did you hear what I'm saying? The Lamb of God died at Passover. The wave offering of Listen, first fruits was presented 3 days later. That is Jesus' resurrection day. Every Jew knows this, okay? And then listen, what's that all about? It is a sample of all that is to be given to God, and the totality is what takes place 50 days later, called what? Pentecost. The church was born on the day of what? Pentecost. Thousands of people got saved on the day of Pentecost. Listen, this is awesome. Every time a believer says yes to Jesus Christ or a non-believer becomes a believer, that's part of the ingathering of the reaping of souls that Jesus was the first one being resurrected from the dead. And we go in his wake or we go in his path. It's very exciting. It's very, very comforting. Point number two this morning is this, verses 24 to 26. Verses 24 to 26. The Bible tells us, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority, all power. What are we looking at? Point number two is this. One new man, please. This new man is free. Free like a man has never known freedom before. Number one, what way? How are we free? One of the greatest things in coming to Christ is immediate freedom from the power of sin. Please listen. Are you guys awake this morning? Yes. Do you understand that when we come to Christ, listen, those of you who have never made this decision, I want you to understand something. Do you understand that your Christian friends are not perfect? He said, no kidding. We never claim to be perfect. We can't be perfect. We want to be perfect, but we can't be. We want to be perfect because we want to honor him. We know that he alone is perfect. And no matter how hard we try, we will not be perfect as he is perfect, for he is God. But we love him, and so we obey him. You with me? Okay. When we consider this thing about being free from sin, I cannot explain it accurately enough that the moment we accept Christ, just as you in your heart today either have joy or shame, you have freedom or guilt in your conscience. As a Christian, when you come to the Lord and give your sins to him in exchange for his life in you, there is an indescribable change, ever so quiet, but ever so powerfully profound, that I can no longer live the life that I once lived. How that plays out, the timing of it plays out, in the powers as it's played out, it's as varied as any snowflake in the universe, okay? But God is at work within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And a true believer knows this to be true. That's why we rejoice remembering that he will not forsake the work of his hands. That's very comforting to us. Who can say, I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not the person I'd like to be. But there's power going on in my life. Something's happening. One of those great things is that we've been freed from sin. It doesn't mean we're sinless. It means we sin less. But the sin that we do sin has no power over us. A translation to that? We sin now because we choose. Remember, we get back to decision again now. It used to be before we were Christians, we woke up halfway in our sin because we were so used to sinning that we never even thought about not sinning. Now, as believers, that temptation hits our head and we have a big battle and we fight. And when we sin now, we give in to the temptation, don't we? Someone asked me, this is classic. You heard me say this. It was a couple of years ago. I'll never forget. It was in the foyer. This man came up to me and he said, do you believe that a man could be sinless in this life? And I said, absolutely not. And he said, really? Well, I don't think you teach the Bible accurately, because he said, I am a Christian and I now, as a Christian, am sinless. And I said, yes, of course, positionally, you're sinless. Positionally. But are you telling me that you don't sin? You don't have a bad thought? When somebody cuts you off on the freeway, you don't think, you rotten good for nothing? No, he said, no. And I noticed he was standing next to a young woman. And I said, who is this? And he said, this is my girlfriend. I said, is he sinless? And she goes like this. Look at me. She goes like this. Listen, if there's a couple in front of you and you're talking to them and you ask a poignant question like that, never look at the man. He will lie. He's amazing. He's a son of Adam. He will lie right straight through his teeth. The woman. And I said, answer me. Is he sinless? And she said, of course not. The Bible says in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we call God a liar and the truth is not in us. But the Bible also says in 1 John, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because it says if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God and with one another as we walk in the light, not in darkness. We've been freed. The end, it says, comes when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father. When will this rule and authority and power come to an end? The answer, theologically, is at the end of the millennium of Christ. The kingdom of God, the reference here, Bible theologians, is this. That reference is to the end of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. What is that? The millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ, mark it down, is when Jesus sits on the throne of David from Jerusalem, Israel. See, wait a minute. All the news says there's no Israel. All the news says Jerusalem doesn't belong to the Israelis. I know what the news says. Read your Bible. You know how one of the signs that we know we're coming to the end of the age is by the world all up in arms about Israel, the Jews, and Jerusalem, and God has written his word, and as those issues approach, God is saying, hey, in the last days, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone tied around the neck of the nations of the world. Is that not true right now? It is amazing. You say, oh, I don't believe in the Bible. Why? Amazing. The Bible says Jesus, to be the Christ, the Messiah, must sit on the throne of David, and that's in Jerusalem. For how long? 1,000 years. But the Bible says that Jesus will reign as the son of David forever. That's right. Listen, everybody. Listen, I'm going to spare you a lot of grief. I'm going to spare you about 8 months of Bible college right here in a second. Seriously. This is about a $50,000 savings right here, right now. Jesus must sit. Oh, sit down. Hang on to your seat. He must sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. Why? Because Jesus is the one and only last political king, ruler there'll ever be. It's not the European Union. It's not the Emperor of Japan. It's not Washington, D.C. Jesus is going to come back and put an end to all. Look at the word. It's awesome. He says here, he's going to put an end to all rule. Supreme Court, sit down. How cool is that? All authority, president, take a back seat. All power, think of that. Communist, move out of the way. Why? Jesus is coming. King Jesus is coming. He's going to establish his rule, his authority, his power, and he's got to do that during the millennium. Christ must physically, bodily return to the world in Jerusalem, Israel. That's why Israel and Jerusalem is such a hot topic. Satan is moving in the halls of power in nations to try to get rulers to discredit the existence of Israel. If you know a Christian who does not believe in the existence of Israel, the Jews, or the land being the Jewish land, then listen, they have fallen for the lie of Satan's doctrine, because as long as there is no Israel in the mind of man, Satan's doctrine is Christ can't return. The Bible says Christ returns to Jerusalem.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a look at a section in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul speaks of sin and death entering into the world by one man, then being conquered by another. The title, One New Man, Please. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at 1 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, here on Real Radio, we often tell you about Words to the Wise, Pastor Jack's commentary, which you can get via email, Journey, one of our television programs, our Wednesday night study, which airs live on hischannel.com, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, that's another one of our TV programs that deals with topical issues, our Real Radio podcasts, and a whole lot more. Now, as you know, we always try to make things easy for our Real Radio listeners here in this point-and-click world. Well, now we've got something we're pretty excited about. We think you might like it. It's the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. All in one place. You've got that quick and easy access to everything I just mentioned and a whole lot more. You want to hear a recent edition of Real Radio? Simple. Go to the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Words to the Wise devotionals? Very easy to find. Access it through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. We have a feature there called Real Life Basics. It deals with the essentials of our faith. And you can follow Pastor Jack on Facebook and on YouTube. There's a whole lot to access and too much to talk about right here, right now. So just download this free app and you'll see all that it does. Did I say that app was free? Yep, I did. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new app for your smartphone. Of course, you can learn more by visiting realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.